Good morning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Sometimes I like to tie in what we're looking at with our class this morning. And what you see is the people of God are being warned time and time again. But yet, even with all these warnings, they still are disobedient to God. Can we be guilty of the same thing? Yes, we can. This morning, Mark, as he's presiding at the Lord's table, used the word pattern. And I want to tie that in this morning. Is there a pattern that we are to follow today? Yes, there are. Many patterns. And again, that pattern is given to us in God's Word. In Jeremiah chapter 6, in verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, ask for the old path where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. There's the word, isn't it? Walk the way that you've been shown. But look at their response. It says, but they said, we will not walk in it. So God can give us specific instructions about how we are to walk. And we can have rest into our souls. But look at their response. We aren't going to do it. We're not going to walk in it. Can we be guilty of the same thing? God says, walk this way, but then we refuse to do it. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. Jesus also used this example. And I want to emphasize, Jesus speaks to us today through his word. He has given us very specific commandments that we're to follow. And we can do exactly as we find in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. I'm not going to do it. And we all can be guilty of that. I think Richard brought the question, is there something that you're not doing that you should be doing? And you need to recognize it, acknowledge it, confess it, and turn to God. That's the commandment that we have. Here in Matthew chapter 21, beginning of verse 28, but what do you think? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. So here's an instruction. Go work in the vineyard. Verse 29, he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it and went. So first he told his dad, I'm not going to do it. But then he thought about it. And he went and did what his father asked him to do. Verse 30. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. So the first one said, I'm not going to do it. But he changed his mind and did it. The second one said, I'm going to go. But what happened? He didn't do it. Which of the two did the will of the father? Which of those two did what the Father's will was? And if you look at the passage here, they said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, as surely I say to you, the tax collectors and the harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. He's rebuking the religious leaders of the day because they did not do the will of the Father. Now, I'd like us to consider for just a moment ourselves. Examine yourself. What does God expect of you today? What has God given you? I want to look at a very specific example. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. And we need to think for a moment about King Solomon. King Solomon. When you look at the Old Testament, as I'm going through it again right now, there's so much in it. And it's so powerful because it speaks to us today. In 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, we see the first of three different occasions that God appears to Solomon. I think many of you remember Solomon is the son of David and Bathsheba. Because of Bathsheba, David was tempted, he committed adultery, and he also committed murder. And the first son between David and Bathsheba died. And then Solomon is the next son, the son of Bathsheba and David. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" What's he doing here? Solomon now has the opportunity to ask of God something. Now put yourself in that position. What would you ask God for? What would you ask God for? Go down to verse 9, because he's very specific. "Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" He's king. He has a task at hand. He wants to do a good job. And he asks God for the ability to judge between his people, to have understanding, to have wisdom. Look at verse 11. "Then God said to him, because you asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone arise after you. And I also have given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." Look at what God is giving to Solomon. And you can read some of 1 Kings, and you can see he builds the temple, and he dedicates the temple. Over 100,000 cattle and all these different animals are sacrificed after it's all built to dedicate it. An incredible amount of wealth, peace, and prosperity during his time. But look at verse 14. "For if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father, your David, walked, then I will lengthen your days." Now notice there's an if-then statement here. If you do these things, then I will lengthen your days. Now let me ask you a question. Are there conditions for us today? Are there things that God expects us to do? And if we do these things, then we will be blessed. But if we do not, what happens? There's the then statement. Somebody would do this, yeah. Somebody points in the direction we're going to go, given in God's word. Now let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. Now think, God has given Solomon wisdom, wealth, power, strength, and peace as long as he keeps his commandments and his statutes. 1 Kings chapter 9, the second time he appears. The Lord appeared at 9 verse 2. The Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said, "I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you made before me. I have consecrated this house which you built in my name there forever, and my eyes and hearts will be there perpetually." Now look at verse 4. "For if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever." There's the if. If you do these things. Verse 6. "But if you, or your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commands and my statutes which I set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples." Please highlight that if you have it in your Bible. Because as long as they keep God's commandments, His statutes, His ordinances, they will be blessed. But if they do not, in verse 7, "I will cut off Israel from the land. I will cast them out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all my peoples." There's the warning, isn't it? This is to King Solomon. And again, I find it so hard to understand. God has blessed this man. He has all this wisdom and understanding. He wrote all of these psalms and songs. We have his books in the Bible. But yet what happens to him? Let's now turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. No matter what God has blessed you with, even if you have made a decision, "I'm going to follow God, I'm going to be obedient to Him, because I love God," can you wander away from God? Yes, you can. You can wander away from God. And the Bible warns us about this. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or what else? The pride of life. Satan knows your weakness. Satan will do everything he can to attack you, to distract you, and to turn you away from God. In 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many foreign women." Now think about this. He loved many foreign women. What's that? Samson and who? Samson and Delilah. A woman causes him to turn away from serving God as he should. David and who? Bathsheba. Again, a woman lures him away from being faithful to God. And now look at this. Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as a daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. There's a commandment, isn't it? You will not intermarry with these women. That is a commandment that was given to them. Why? It's a warning. Because they will turn you away from him to who? To their gods. There's the warning. Can this happen today? Can this happen today? Yes, it can. And I've seen it so many times. Somebody may have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but then they'll marry someone who is not a Christian. What can happen in that situation? They can turn away from God and serving Him and putting God first. And unfortunately, that happens in so many different ways. So again, just a warning to make sure that you are faithful to God, to be obedient to God. And it doesn't matter what qualities you had, how faithful you had been in the past. If you make that decision, I'm going to just do this. What's going to happen? You get further and further away. Away from God. Now this is incredible to me. Look at verse 3. "And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." I can't comprehend that. 1,000 wives. 1,000. Can you imagine that? I can't. "For so it was when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, And so was the heart, as was the heart of his father David. So who turned his heart away from God? His wives did. And as I was trying to study this, you know, you can just imagine as he's getting older in age, as we get older, we kind of lose some of our energy. You've got 1,000 wives. And they're coming at you. I want you to build me a temple for my God. I want you to build a temple for my God. You got 1,000 of them coming. I want you to build a temple for my God. And he gives in to them. So we find here, his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians. After Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow fully the Lord as David did his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill of eastern Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. He did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and as sacrifice to their gods. So here we find the example. One person who God gave him what he asked, wisdom, having more wisdom than anyone before him and after him. And besides that, gave him wealth and power, and he built the temple of God. And what happens? What happens? His heart goes further and further away from God. Now that's a warning for all of us, isn't it? That is a warning for all of us. Because we can be greatly blessed. We can have a zeal for following God. And you can read God's word. Solomon had a zeal. He built that temple. He wanted to honor God. But what happened after time? He went away from God slowly and slowly, influenced by his wives. Look at verse 9. There's consequences. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel. Now I want you to note, his heart had turned from what? The Lord God of Israel. He had turned his heart away. So again, today, when we make that decision to follow God, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we begin to do that, is there a possibility that we could lose our faith? Yes, there is. We can lose our faith if we do not follow the commandments and the precepts that he's laid down for us. Look at verse 10. And had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Verse 11, therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Did God do this? Yes, he did. And there are so many different things that we find in the Old Testament, because after Solomon, the kingdom that had been united under King Saul, King David, and King Solomon, what happened to it? It became divided. And as I'm studying this right now, I mentioned this to my wife. I've read the Bible several times. But every time I read it, guess what? I see something I did not see before. And one thing I had not seen before, and I don't know how I missed it. God gave Jeroboam the northern kingdom. God gave it to him. I thought Jeroboam was just a rebel and just took it away. God gave Jeroboam the northern kingdom. And he gave Rehoboam what? Judah, the southern kingdom. And he instructed them the same way. Keep my commandments. Keep my statutes. Did they do it? No. So again, I had missed that because I read through it, I guess I put it, that God gave Jeroboam the northern kingdom. That was his desire. And what did Jeroboam do? Almost immediately, he built two places of worship in the northern kingdom. He not only built those places of worship, he made his own priests. He made his own worship system. He did everything to violate God's will. So again, even though God may bless you, God may give you instructions to do things, even though initially you follow God, what can happen? You can turn further and further away. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 2. Because there is a pattern in God's word. There are a lot of people who don't like to hear that word pattern. And they will want to attack you. You're being legalistic. That's not the way God intended it. I'm sorry, that is the way God intended it. And I want you to look at what we find here because God has given us a pattern to follow. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 38, and we'll just begin this subject, and Lord willing, I'll continue next time. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 38, we see that the gospel is first preached on Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." It's not what it says. And I want to highlight that there's a pattern being established here. He says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There's the pattern. It's being established. It's being preached. If you want to be faithful to God, to be a servant, to have your sins forgiven, you must repent and be what? Be baptized. That's the pattern. Now look at verse 41. Because there might be someone sitting here today, you've not done that yet. I want to encourage you to take that step. In 41, those who gladly received his word accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. No. And this is important. This is important. It was brought up in our class this morning. We have the pattern. God has given it to us. He's established it. He has commanded it through his Son. And if we violate the pattern, we're just as guilty as Solomon. Solomon was faithful to God, obedient to him, built his temple, consecrated it. But over time, what led him away from God more and more? 1,000 wives, worshiping their gods, building their temples. Verse 41, they who gladly received his word were baptized. At that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And this is important now, verse 42. This is the pattern. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. There's the pattern again being emphasized. Again, look at verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, their teachings. And where did they get their teachings from? From the Lord, as directed and revealed by the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again, the idea about the pattern. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're sitting here, you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you think you're right with God, you are not right with God. You are not right with God. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 7, 37. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. What is Paul emphasizing here? What I'm writing to you is not something I'm making up here. It's not my whim. It's not based on my feelings or emotions. But what I'm writing to, look at that again, are the commandments of who? Of the Lord. These are the commandments of the Lord. There's the pattern again. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. Again, the pattern. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. What's he saying? There's the pattern. Stand fast and hold these things that you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now what that means is everything that we have recorded for us that are given to us to follow as commandments of God, we are instructed to do that. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20. But some might say, well, maybe we're missing something. Maybe they forgot something. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 27. Acts 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Everything that we need has been given to us. Everything that we need has been given to us in his word. Now, how's that done? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And this will be our last passage this morning. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We have a pattern. We have something that God has laid out for us. And just as he instructed Solomon, if you do this, what? The kingdom will be there. But if you do not, it will be taken away. There will be consequences. We have been given a pattern today, and we need to follow that pattern. Now, how did we get this? Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So how did God speak? Through the prophets. Now look at verse 2. And this is important for us. It was brought up again in our class this morning. Have there been false teachers over time? Yes. You can look at all the different systems, all the different denominations, all the different worldviews. And there are people who follow these different systems, denominations, and worldviews. But look what it says here. God spoke to us in various ways in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Look at verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by his son. So today, we are spoken to by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have his words and his testimony in the New Testament today. Now we'll stop there. There's so much more about pattern. And again, one thing that frustrated me so much when I first became a Christian is I wanted to learn everything I could. I wanted to learn everything. And then what hurt me so much is that that time period, there were a lot of debates going on between our brothers about different issues. And that puzzled me. I didn't understand it. Are there issues among brethren today? Yes, there is. And what's helped me over time, it took me a long time to see this, Who is at the root of all those problems between brothers and sisters in Christ? Satan is. He wants to destroy the Lord's people. And the only way that's been provided for us to know the truth is where? In His Word. And I've talked to brethren about this. I've pointed it out to them. So many different problems have arisen among brothers. And the only solution is what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Put God's kingdom first. And I've seen it, and it's horrible, because what happens, people's personalities get in there, and they get in debates, and they want to prove themselves right. Is that what we're supposed to do when we look at God's Word? No. When we look at God's Word, we want to understand God's Word and be obedient to it. We'll stop there. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we please want to encourage you to do that. Make that step today while you still have an opportunity. If you're a brother or sister in Christ, you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.